So let's go into the world this morning. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for that spirit that you so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving and with joy. And we say, thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask this morning that there is clarity as the truth of God's word is taught. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth. There is no contradiction in this atmosphere, no confusion. We declare and decree at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. The woman in Christ. The reason why this is very paramount right now is because, you know, culture of our day and time, right from the beginning, you know, has tried to relegate the place of the woman in the body of Christ. That's why you see situations of an environment or meetings where women cannot hold the microphone. Are we together? A woman cannot teach, or a woman cannot be a pastor. And the truth is that there are literal scriptures you can actually take to explain such stands. That's what we're doing this series. There are literal scriptures you will see. I mean, you see Bible in 1 Timothy, for instance, chapter 2, or 1 Corinthians, chapter 13, verse chapter 14, verse 34. Let the woman keep silent. You know, and the question is, how do we interpret what God's word really says about the woman that is in Christ? How do we explain? How do we tackle those conversations? Why was it that really we have more men do more things in the scriptures? Or why is it that it always looks like a man must be a pastor? Then the wife is not afford. You know. Sometimes we call our pastor's wife Pastor Mrs. Why do we have to say a Mrs. after the pastor? Why don't we say Pastor Mister? Are we together? Yeah. Why do we say Pastor and Pastor Mrs.? It's because somewhere in our subconscious we've tried to relegate the word pastor for the male species. So we have to use something to blend it. Look at it. You can call a woman Pastor Esther. I don't have to call you Pastor Mrs. Esther or Pastor Miss Esther. Do you understand? If I'm not called Pastor Mr. Joshua, you see, it sounds ridiculous. Pastor Mr. Joshua, Pastor Mr. Joshua. We call on Pastor Mr. Joshua to take the offering. Why do you have to say Pastor Mrs.? Yeah. So it's one of those things that over time, the culture has made to be the normal. Are we together? The culture has made it to seem so normal. So a pastor, so for instance, if for instance, you know, she was the pastor of the church, you know, we don't say pastor's husband, but we address her as pastor's wife. The wife of the pastor is the pastor's wife. But somewhere in your mind, it doesn't just settle well to say pastor's husband. Worse that just comes worse is that we just allocate pastoral anointing to the man and just say it was the pastor. You know, you just say, they just the pastor, just call their son in together. The truth is that these things have been ongoing for a while, and we want to discover what is the place of the woman in the body of Christ. Right? Are women relegated from offices to operate in? Are women called, are women taken away from being called apostles? Are we together? Why do we keep women to only handle the sharing of cake and biscuit and juice? Are we together? Why do we think the place of the woman is in children's church? Can't a woman teach the main church and a man teaches the children class? Why do we have this segregation among saints? And another interesting thing, it now subconsciously puts the woman who have certain calls upon their lives, you know, to make them stay behind. Are we together? Makes the women who have burning desires to do certain things, to give expression to the Holy Ghost in them, now stay behind. Now, it also takes another dimension. It now puts us in a place where women who have those calling, but are naturally stubborn, now infuse their stubbornness into their ministry and take it overboard. Did you get what I said? So because in the quest of fighting for the place of the woman in the church, right, and because you have a strong voice, you now attach your strong voice with your stubbornness to take it more than what it should be. But the truth is that you can teach about the woman of Christ, a woman in Christ, strictly from scriptures. You know, I always keep saying it, the solution of the inequality in this world is found in the gospel. Are we together? Are we together? The solution for the inequality in this world, is found in the gospel. The gospel is the only level ground that will put man and woman on the same pedestal. It's only the gospel. It's only the gospel that can put the poor and the rich on the same pedestal. It's only the gospel. Right? So whilst you create groups and try to create awareness for the female gender, if it doesn't stand on the premise of the scriptures, in sooner or later, it will not have any stand at all again. Are we together? So what is it about the woman in Christ? Look at Matthew Gospel chapter 19. Let's start a quick study this morning. Matthew 19, verse 1, and it came to pass that when Jesus had finished this saying, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Then the Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to do what? To put away his wife for every cause. So what is their question? Is it lawful for a man to what? Divorce, which of them is correct? Is it lawful for a man to put his wife away? Are we here? Right? So, and he answered and said unto them, have you not what? So what was Jesus' answer to divorce? Have you not read? Where do you think they were asking that question from? After reading the scriptures. How do we know? Look at the next verse. It says, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them what? Male and female. And he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be what? One flesh. Now look at verse 6. Wherefore they are no more twain, but what? One flesh. Let's read the next line together. 1, 2, 3, go. Wherefore, what therefore? God has what? Let no man. They said unto him, why does Moses then command to give a what? Writing of divorcement and to put her away. So where did they read Moses' instruction? In the scriptures. So they read the scriptures. From the reading of the scriptures, they came up with a question, and Jesus took them back to the scriptures. Did you get that? They read the scriptures, they came up with their question, you know, and Jesus took them back. That's why you see the guys, some guys came to meet Jesus. They were asking him, this woman who has several husbands, in the resurrection, who will be her husband? That's the slant of their heart. To the point that you still believe that in the resurrection morning, you will have husband and wife. So the question is like, this woman has married, she has like five people that can say, that was my wife. So who will really be the husband? Is it the first that is the true love? Or the last, that's the person she shared her love with before they passed. So it means that there is a way you will read scriptures and come up with questions you ought not to come up with. Why? Because you didn't read scriptures well. I'll say that one more time. There is a way you will read scriptures and come up with questions you ought not to come up with because you didn't read scriptures well. So that is why they read scriptures, they came to Jesus, and they asked the question. And the first thing Jesus says is, have you not read? Praise God. So he says, verse 8, now he said unto them, that's Jesus in verse 8, Matthew 19, 8, Moses, be what? Because of the hardness of your hearts, suffered you to what? The word they suffered is to what? Allow. Now, he allowed you to put away your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so. When Jesus says, have you not read? It means that when we want to have questions about certain things, there is a particular way we ought to read scriptures. Look at Luke 24, for instance. Luke 24, verse 24. Let's quickly go through a few scriptures this morning and get our plates, our feet, you know, studying a few things. Luke 24, are you there? And certain of them came to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but him they saw not. Are you there? 24. Are you there? And certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so, as the women had said, but he they saw not. Then he what? He said unto them, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. What did they now say in verse 26? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things you see, and to what? Enter into his glory. Now look at what Jesus does in verse 27. And what? Beginning at where? Moses. He what? Expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So what was Jesus really telling them? Have you not read what the prophet said? Are we together? When they read what the prophet said, what were they to do with what the prophet said? They were to believe what the prophet said. So he says, have you not read in Matthew 19? He now says, do you not believe what the prophet said? That Christ will suffer and enter his glory. Then he gives us a template of how to read. Bible now tells you that I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expanded unto them. So that is the template in Bible study. So what did Jesus expect them in Matthew 19 to do when he says, have you not read? He expects them to go back to the book of Genesis and read through Moses and the prophets. Are we together? You're not going to Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. It says, study to show thyself approved, a workman who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can that be the instruction Jesus gave them in Matthew 19? That is, study to show thyself approved. Yeah, a workman who needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. The word there, study, is the word spoudazo. That's S-P-O-U-D-A-Z-O, spoudazo. And it's a word that deals with being diligent. Paul uses it in the same letter in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Right? He says, do thy diligence come to me. So the word there, study, is to be diligent, are we together, in your study that leads to, by extension, teaching. Because Paul was addressing false teachers in 1 Timothy. So he says, study to show thyself approved, the workman that needed to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. In fact, before you get to chapter 2 Timothy 2:2. I want to get 2 Timothy 2:15. Before you get to chapter 2, verse 15, you will read chapter 2, verse 1, when it says, the things which I have committed unto you, commit to faithful men who shall commit to other men. He now says, study to show, because he was tackling false teachers. That's why he mentions Hymenaeus and Philetus in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 16, 17 downwards. Right? So he says, study to show thyself as one who is approved of God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. Now, the word there, the words rightly dividing, is a singular phrase in the Greek manuscript. Orthotomeo, right? It's a word that means to be skillful in cutting. Yeah, it's actually a combination of two words that means to cut and to straight. Right? So to cut straight, so to say. So it's a word that researchers have come to understand that is usually associated with miners. You know who a miner is? One who tries to bring solid jewels from the midst of rocks, so to say. So Paul says that the attitude of a miner towards mining is the attitude, or should be the attitude, of a preacher towards the word. Altogether, that you might rightly divide the scriptures, that you might divide rightly the scriptures, that you might carefully handle. So it's like a surgeon. Imagine if you go into, imagine if you go to a theater. Imagine your dad wanted to go through an operation, for instance, right? And you get to the hospital, and the first thing the doctor says is, "Oh, I didn't really finish medical school. But I'm a man of faith. Say faith with me." I didn't really finish, but say faith. Do you understand how you will not allow a man who is diligent in his study and in his profession to handle your man, which is a father, for instance? Right? But the way some of us approach God's word is as though it's just one of those things we just do. Let's just quickly do. And Pastor, you talk too much. Let's just patch it. Just read Timothy and use Ephesians and do Colossians on top. You know, so we're okay for the week. Then just stretch your hand towards us and release us for the week. Release us for the week. And that's what we need. You see, he has done it. He's done. He's finished. That's why all that is done in the resurrection is past. Say past. But you will not give a man, for instance, a man who has not. So that is why you see believers, for instance, come into, you know, Bible study or say certain things or hold on to things dear to their Christian faith that have no ground in scriptures. So, for instance, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. It's the confession of a lot of believers every Monday morning. But the truth is that you can't do all things. Why don't you believe that doctor can do all things? Right? Imagine you're about to board a flight. Just simple Abuja to Lagos. You just get to the plane. The pilot just holds the mic. Ladies and gentlemen. And the way you could hear is, I didn't go to aviation school. You know, my pastor told me this week that this is my week. And just sit and relax while I take you on this beautiful journey. The first thing you say is, journey to where? Because it might be a man who is tired of this world. This world is not my own. That might be what might be playing in his earpiece. I'm just passing by. And he wants you to pass it to another world with him. So, you see, you don't trust a man who is not diligent in his aviation school to fly you. Are we together? That is the same approach you would expect an average believer. So Paul tells you, study, be diligent in your Bible study. Be diligent. Now, Jesus tells you how to be diligent. To be diligent involves you going back to the beginning. You would have to go to the beginning to show you are diligent. Nobody reads their textbook from chapter 15. Imagine that same doctor. You know, I got to school, you know, my brother, see, this medical thing, forget it. This is my first surgery, but forget it, it's done. It's done, it's done. I got to school and actually resumed late because I was just traveling, trying to do ministry. You know, and as soon as exam was just approaching, and you know, out of a book that has 33 chapters, I read chapter 31 and 32, and you see the end of a matter, you know, is spoken of towards the end chapter. As I just sit down, I know all it takes, you will be scared. The same thing with an aviation guy. So Jesus teaches us how to be a diligent student. How do you do that? The Bible says, I'm beginning at Moses. That is, he went to the beginning. Then all the prophets, he expounded unto them things concerning himself. Look now, tells you in verse 44. He says, the words which I spoke unto you, they are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. The words which I speak are the words I spoke while I was yet with you. That all things must be fulfilled in the scriptures, which were written where? In the law of Moses, that is the writings of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Are we together? So the good way for a diligent student in the world, he must be ready to sacrificially go back to the beginning. So let's try and examine the woman in Christ from the beginning. Are we together? You know, Bible tells you to tell you rather in the book of John. Look at John 5. Look at John 5. John chapter 5. Are you there? Look at John 5, 30, 46. It says, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Who is talking there? Jesus, right? So Jesus says, if you believe Moses, you would have believed me, for Moses wrote of me. Are we together? But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Are we together? So what is the goal of reading Moses? It is to believe what Jesus will teach. Are you here? What is the goal of reading Moses? It is to be able to have a comprehensive understanding of what the Christian faith is about. So we are not believers who just relegate Moses to that is under the law. You know, why don't you collect tithing in your offering? You know, because tithing is under the law. Are we together? Right? It is in those same writings that we'll find the explanation of what the tithing is. We've done a study on that, right? Yeah? It's in those same explanations of Moses, by extension of the prophets, that we'll understand what the process or the conversation of tithing really is. I will come to understand that when Jesus and the apostles will teach about the concept of giving, they will not mention tithing as a means to an end. Or they will not mention it as a principle to get rich, because nobody gets rich by tithing. It's a scam. Are we together? But you will hear Jesus, you will hear Paul talk about giving and giving what? Liberally. Giving and giving liberally. So when you now see someone who comes and says, you know, there's a blessing that comes with the tithe, it is because you have not read. Whilst you have read, right? I will not hear. Whilst you've read, you've not read. Whilst you've read, you've not read. You know, a lot of us, we won't give that so-called thing tight by true fear. Even in this gospel class, the day I did the exegesis on tithing, I did a full series on tithing. First month, everything dropped. People stopped giving. Second month, third month, fourth month. All of us in this show cannot be in a phase now. We're not all passing through. Abi, it's easy to encourage yourself first month. Maybe we're all passing through. We're all going through some challenges. But all of us cannot be in challenges for 6 months as a church now. Somebody must at least be doing well. Are we here? You know, but what did I realize? That the proper teaching of scriptures took away covetousness from man. So we realized that the only reason we were given the supposed tithe was because we were covetous. What do I mean? It is because they told you there's a special blessing for you that you will come out for and hands will be laid on you. That is why you gave that 10%. That's why when God's word is now exposed to you, it now exposes to us what you genuinely give to God. It's not hard to collect money from people, Abby. It's not. I'll just share you two or three testimonies right now. You're already unsettled. See, as I was approaching the airport, I just saw the Spirit of God say, leave that seat and go towards the entrance. As soon as I went there and sat, it wasn't up to 5 seconds when a man just reached out to me and said, I want to connect. And he gave me a seed. And guess what? I told him within 72 hours, everything will change and turn around. And I told him, I said, just go and sing this song. I can see everything turning around. And just go and say, let that be the song on your lips for the next 3 days. If I tell you that story now, you're already unsettled. Are you here today? You've been waiting for 6 months. That thing you are looking for, the distance between you and what you are going to is your seed. Right? Any money that cannot meet your need, so has a seed. Now you start shaking. God. That's how some of us did. We empty our account. Today, we've not gotten the profit. Till today, we've not gotten it back. Told of a friend of mine who gathered money for months to buy sewing machine. They tricked me to what she received. She wants to buy the sewing machine the next month, though. Took all the money I had to go and sow it as a seed. And the man said, it's not by strengthening your face. It's not by. Because if that is the way prosperity is gotten, no believer should be poor. Most of us in Nigeria are poor. When I mean most, you know, I'm always careful when I use a lot, most, and some. A lot means quite a number, but not over 50%, or might not be. Some might just mean not up to 50%. That's the truth. Except you don't lie to yourself. Right? So Jesus will say, have you not read? Have you not read? This is why Moses said that is just an English word. No spiritual meaning, no implication. God did not make it a principle to prosper. No, leave it. Have you not read? So Jesus will tell them, have you not read from the beginning? Are we together? So if seed sowing, for instance, was a principle, you shouldn't be where you are today. And I don't know where you are. But me, I shouldn't be where I am today. Let me speak for myself. I shouldn't be where I am today. All does it require? Initial capital, 5K. Abi, drop 5K, give God 7 days. What happens? 450. If he show you, remove your initial capital and drop 445. If he show you, remove your 5,000, drop the initial capital again, and let it roll over. Let it roll over. Because you know somewhere in your heart. But you know, there's a way we'll bamboozle you. So you can read the scriptures and not have read scriptures. See, you could have finished with, you know, it was a custom that the Israelites and the Pharisees and all of them, they knew the scriptures by heart. How do you know that? Why? Because it's not today when they will just give you printed copy. You can easily move around with it though. They knew the scripture. They could quote it by heart, most of them, if not all of them, but at least more than half of the scriptures. So they've read, and the first question Jesus tells them is, have you not read? So he who made them in the way. So it means that we must go back to the beginning to investigate what scriptures really teaches about. Look at Genesis 2. Look at Genesis 1 quickly. Let's do a quick study on that. Quickly. Genesis 1, never forget John 5. If you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Genesis 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our what? Hold on. Let's start, okay? Let us make man in our image after our what? Likeness. And let can I say to a man and call a man them? Can I say to a man and call a man them? So when he says, let us make man, at least the basic of English we've learned shows that man is what? Singular. Right? So he says, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. So it means that the man spoken about is about men. Because it is men that will have dominion, not a man. So the man spoken about in Genesis 1:26 is not about Adam as a singular man. Are you following? So let them have dominion. He now tells you in verse 26, 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he. So who are the them that should have dominion? Male and female. He created where? In the image of God. Are you here? So let them have dominion will be equal to the male and female created he them in the image of God, of verse 27. So look at 28. And God what? Blessed them. Who are the them? Male and female where? In the image of God. And God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and all of that. Right? So in the real sense, the word dear man in verse 26 is the word Adam. Look at 26 in your Bible. Right? And God said, let us make Adam in our image. Now, the word dear Adam is a word used for mankind and humanity in verse 26. Right? So let us make mankind. So the mankind God will make in our image will be the male and female of verse 27. Are you here? Have you gone home? Look at Genesis 5. So this will bring home the point. Look at Genesis 5 verse 1. Are we there? Genesis 5 verse 1, just a few books after. A few chapters, right? Are you there? Let's read verse 5 verse 1, Genesis 5, 1 together. This, 1, 2, 3, go. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God, made he him. Look at verse 2, 1, 2, 3, go. Male and female created he and blessed them. Is that Genesis 1 and 2, Genesis 1, 26 and 27? And blessed them and called their name. Called their name. Is it in your Bible? He called their name Adam. So it means that Adam, whilst it will speak about the male man, will speak about the union or speak about a double agent, which will be male and female. Are we here? Go back to Genesis 3:20. Look at 20. Look at 20. Are you there? Genesis 3:20. Are you there? It says, and Adam called his wife's name Eve. This Adam, is he humanity, mankind? Is he humanity, mankind? Adam called his wife's name Eve. Is he humanity that called the wife Eve? You get it now, ba? Right? We came at this general naming ceremony. All of us decided to call. I would say, your name from today, everybody echo together. No. So the Adam there is a male species that called his wife's name. Why? Remember, we just finished a series on the name of God. What's the function of that? Because she's mother of all living. Is that a function? Is that a function? So we called her Eve. Remember, we did that teaching on the name of Jesus. Names are primarily functional. Right? So he called her Eve because she was. Look at Genesis 4 verse 1. And Adam knew Eve. Is that humanity knew Eve? You see, And humanity knew Eve. What does it mean to knew? in chapter 4, verse 1. It's not far-fetched, because that knowing had to deal with a conceiving. Are we together? And she bare a child. So how do you know someone to conceive? By knowing the person. Amen. Right? So, as she conceived and bare a child, Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man, right, from the Lord. Are we now going to say this man is equal to the man of Genesis 1:26? And say this, I've got humanity from the Lord. So it means in the first three chapters of Moses, Genesis 1, 2, 3, Moses will use Adam for both humanity, mankind, and for the male man, male species. Are you here? Now, so it means that we will have Adam as a man, male species. We will have his wife. What did he call his wife? Because she's the mother of all living. So we have Adam. So we have Adam. We have Adam. So first Adam, humanity. Second Adam, Adam as a male species. Then we have Eve. Then we have what again? Mother of all living. Are we together? Then we will now have that the mother of all living conceived and gave birth to what? I have gotten a man. What do you think Moses is making you see from there? If you look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, what do you see there? Can you see procreation? Can you see reproduction? So what is the basic thing Moses is making you see in Genesis 4, verse 1? That procreation, according to God's plan, is for male and female to be involved. Are we here? That's important to note. That procreation, right, is for male and female to be involved. So why do we have male and female the way we have male and female? So in God's Adam, or let's say in God's humanity, we have male and female. Because 27 of Genesis 1 tells you he created them male and what? Female. So in God's humanity, we have, can we say we have the male man and the female man? Are we here? We have the male man and the female man, into brackets, woman. So in God's humanity, God's plan is for the male man and the female man to be found in the image of God. Look at Genesis 7. Genesis chapter 7. Let me read verse 1 to 3 quickly. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy household into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast, rather, thou shalt take to thee, chapter 7, verse 2, by sevens. The what? Male and... Why do you think the instruction to Noah will include male and female? For procreation. Are we here? For reproduction and what? Procreation. So it says male and female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and the female. Of the fowls also of the air by seven, the male and the female. To keep what? To keep seed alive upon the face of the air. So God's plan for male and female is so that there is reproduction and what? Procreation. Are we together? So it means that the difference in the physical composition of male and woman is solely for the purpose of procreation and reproduction. I'll say that one again, one more time. The reason for the differences in the physical makeup or the physical consistency or the physical lookout or look like or the physical look of the structure of the body of a male man and a female man is for procreation and reproduction. The sole reason for the differences, or why you have the male man, the female man, is so that there is what? A seed remaining on the earth, that is for that seed to continue. That is why you see, from then up until now, humans are only born when the seed of a male man and the egg, am I right? Of the female woman, or female man, unites together, then a new being is what? Formed. And the only doctrine that diverts away from that concept is the birth of who? Jesus. Are we together? So it means that for the seed of man to remain on earth, there must always be a man and a woman. So Genesis 1:27, it says, so God created man in his image. He now says, in the image of God created he them, male and female. So when you say God created man in his image, that man in his image is not about the male man. Because if you call that the male man, the them, who is now the male and female in the them? You get that? Right? So, and God created man, because you hear some people say interesting things. It's only man that is in the image of God. You see, Genesis 1:27, it says, man in the image of God. So who are now the them? Middlemen. I hope you get that. You'll get it when you get home. So, in the real sense, God created man in his image. He says, in his image, it now says in verse 28, it now says, and God blessed them. Now, we've done a series in church to explain what God blessed them means. Right? So, whilst you will say God blessed them and said, be fruitful, whilst you will see it as fruitfulness of what? Male and female intercourse to give birth to a child, the fruitfulness is in Matthew 28:18, going into the world and what? Preach the gospel. He that is saved, he that is baptized is saved. Right? So the fruitfulness that, listen to me everyone, the fruitfulness and the blessings and the multiplicity that God instructs to them that are in the image of God is for what? More men to come into the image of God. So who is the image of God? We have to find out who that is. 2 Corinthians 4:3. 2 Corinthians 4:3, quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Quickly get there, quickly get the 2 Corinthians 4:3. So remember, Paul will have only the writings of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Remember? So Paul will write 2 Corinthians, but he has a Bible in mind. Remember we said that? Genesis to Malachi is as much the word of God as Matthew to Revelation. And we don't consider Genesis to Malachi as Old Testament, because we teach about the new creation from the Old Testament. Are we together? We teach about what God will do in the earth, right in the middle of what you call the Old Testament books. So we said Old Testament, Old Covenant, New Testament, New Covenant deals with people and their hearts. We taught that in last series. Are we together? So in the real sense, 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has what? Blinded their heart. Check the Bible. Let the light of the glorious gospel of who? Of Christ, who is the image of God. So who is the image of God? Christ. So Christ is the image of God. So he says, let the light of the glorious gospel. If you read verse 6 in your Bible, it tells you, for God who commanded light to shine out of darkness has shone in our hearts. Is that true? Verse 6. So it means that when Moses, remember, Jesus will say, if you believe Moses, you believe me, for he wrote of me. So when Jesus will say that God said, let there be light, Paul will now tell you, it is the light of the glorious gospel. Who is the image of Christ? So who's the image of Christ? Or who's the image of God, rather? The image of God is Christ. Look at Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verse 15. Are you there? Have you gone home? Are you there? Or have you gone home? You're home. Colossians 1, verse 15. Look at 13. It says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and he has translated us into the kingdom of what? So verse 14 now says, in whom? Who is the in whom there? Jesus Christ, the dear son, right? So Jesus Christ, the dear son, which is Christ, is in whom we have what? Through his blood. The word there even is, I mean, which is, that is, the what? Forgiveness of sins. He now tells, so who is the who in verse 15? The dear son in verse 13. Did you get that? So who in whom in verse 14 is the death on in verse 13? The who in verse 15 is the death on in verse 13, and the whom in verse 14. Are you following me? So verse 15 now says, who is the image of the... So who is the image of the visible God? The whom in verse 14 and the dear son in verse... So the image of God in 2 Corinthians is Jesus Christ. The image of God, invisible God in Colossians 1 is who? Jesus Christ. Look at Hebrews 1. The woman in Christ. Who is that woman in Christ? Who is the woman in Christ? What does she have access to? So Hebrews chapter 1 now tells you God, who has sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. He hath in this last day spoken unto us by, check your Bibles, by his son. We've done a correction to that and said it's in his son. So he's spoken to us in these last days in his son, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the what? Now let's read verse 3. 1, 2, 3, go. Who, being the brightness of his glory, the... Who is that? Who is that? Who is that? His son. So the image of the visible God is the image of God, 2 Corinthians, and is the what? The image of his person in Hebrews 1 verse 3. Are we together? So the image of God is who? Jesus Christ. So look at John 1, before we go back to 1 Corinthians, Genesis. Look at John 1. Are you in John 1? John 1 verse 1. He says, in the beginning, God was the what? Was the what? Where is John teaching from? Genesis, right? So in the beginning was the word, and the word. Now look at verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was. Is that a new creation? Beautiful. Verse 4. In him was what? And the life. The life was the what? The life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and darkness could not what? Comprehend it. So the image of God, is that the light of God? Right? In him was light. Okay, let me say it this way. The image of God, is that about the life of God? What do we have in him? Life that is a light to men. So the image of God is about the light of God that is the life of God. So go back to Genesis 1:27. Are you in Genesis 1:27? What does it say there? He says, so God created man in his image, right? In the image of God created he, male and female created he. So who is the him in Genesis 1:27? Who is the him in Genesis 1:27? Are we here? Who is the him in Genesis 1:27? Christ. So God's plan, so remember we said something on Wednesday, that the writings of Moses, the writings of the prophets, let me say Moses particularly, will be the writing of God's redemptive plan with the writing of the creation woven around it. Are we here? Because Jesus says, if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. So whilst you can be able to place your hands on a few physical things God created in Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, for instance, right, you must see the Bible as a Christocentric book. You know what I call Christocentric? Centered around the person of Christ. Are we together? Are we together? So in the real sense, you will see that God's plan from time, that is the beginning, right, is for there to be a double agent in his image. Are we here? I'll say that one more time. God's plan is that God's man will have a double image. Who is that God's man? The image of God, which is Christ Jesus. So God's plan is for man to have a double agent. So can we say God's plan is for man to be found in his man? Let me allow you to finish writing. So God's plan or God's man will be or will have a double agent. So can we say God's plan is for man to be found in his man? So the first man will be what? God's man or God's plan is for man to be found in his man. Male and female to be found in his, in Christ. So can we say God's plan has been for male and female to be found in the image of God? Are you here? In the image of God? Can we say in the life of God? Can we say in the light of God? So would there be a distinction between the message of his two agents? What do I mean? Will God give a unique message in his image to the male man and the female man? It will be the same. It will be the same. So God expects that humanity is found in his image, in his kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. So God's plan is for male and female. So why don't we find male and female functioning as the same in the image of the plan of God? It is because humanity in their covetous hearts has been able to put and relegate women to behind closed doors, which did not start today. Are we here? Which did not start today. Praise God. So, back to Genesis, right? So, remember? So, let's read 27 properly with the proper understanding. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him. Can we say into bracket Christ Jesus? Beautiful. Male and female created he them. Can we say the male beside you and the female beside you? Beautiful. Now, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and what? Replenish the earth, and what? Subdue. I will see that as an instruction that Jesus gives in the resurrection. All together. So we multiply into the kingdom, multiply more people and bring more people into the kingdom of God by preaching and heralding the gospel, the good news about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look at Genesis 2. Where Genesis is for this morning. Genesis 2, 24. Are you there? So when he says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall what? Cleave unto, and they shall be. Now, we started looking at something on Sunday, and we spoke about one. Do you remember when I was teaching about that? How one in scriptures do not usually speak about unit of number, but what? Unity. Remember that on Wednesday? I think I said it on Wednesday. Right? So, and they became. Now, hold on. We're getting somewhere. So, hold your hands in Genesis chapter 2 and go to Ephesians 5. Hold your hands in Genesis 2 and go to Ephesians chapter 5. Are you there? Have you gone home? Genesis chapter 5. Look at verse 31. Genesis 5, 31. Ephesians 5, 31, I'm sorry. Ephesians 5, verse 31. What does he say? For this cause shall a man leave his father, are you there? And mother, and shall be unto his wife, and they shall become. Where is Paul reading from? Genesis chapter. Okay, hold on. Go back to verse verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their. Can you see the word own there? Can you see the word own there? Did he say let the wives be subject to men? It says own. Beautiful, right? In everything. He now says 25 now says, husbands, love your, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So he now says, for no man, verse 29, ever yet hated his own, but nourished up and cherished it even as the Lord. Now look at 30. Let's read verse 30 together. Everybody, verse 30, 1, 2, 3, go. For we are members of his body. Who are the we, you and I? Is that God's humanity? Is that God's male and female? We are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. For this cause. Look at 32, 1, 2, 3, go. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even himself, and the wife see that they reverence their... Go back to Genesis 2. Jesus says, if you believe Moses, you believe me, for Moses wrote about me. And in Genesis 2. Look at Genesis 2, verse 24. So we've read 24, right? So therefore shall a man leave and cleave. What did Paul tell you is about? Christ and the church. Lovely. So go back to verse 23. And Adam said, this is now the bones of my bones. Who is Adam from Paul's writing? Christ, are you here? Are you here? What did Paul tell you? We are members of his body. Are we here? We are members of his body. What did Adam say? This is now the bone of my bones, the flesh of my flesh. She shall be called because, is that a function? Is that a function? Because she was taken out of. So, according to Paul's writing, who is Adam and who is Eve in Ephesians 5 and Genesis 2? Christ is Adam and Eve is, because the woman is taken out. Okay, hold on. Go back to the next, previous verse. Look at verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon who? Is that humanity? Is that humanity? Is that humanity? Is that humanity? Okay. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh thereof. Verse 22 now says, and the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now the bone of my bone. So who is the Adam according to Ephesians? Christ. Who is the woman? Which is Eve. So Adam fell into a deep sleep. He will what? Christ will die altogether, and he will do what? Resurrect. So in the resurrection, Eve is formed. So who is God's Eve? A twin agent or a female species? Because if Eve is the woman that is the church, whilst you hear woman, you are not looking at a female man or a female species, but a combination of the male man and the female man, which is actually the male species and the what? The female species. So Adam will be our Christ who died, that is fallen into a deep sleep, and upon the resurrection, a rib is brought out, which we call the church, which is the woman, which is the humanity now found in the image of God. You get that right? Yeah. So the image of God will fall into a deep sleep, and in the resurrection, he will create them male, and he will do what to them? Bless them. And ask them to what? Multiply. Are we here? So, in the resurrection, the aim of God is to restore back. Never forget, the physical components and constituents of a male and a female is for procreation. Are we together? It's for procreation and reproduction. But in the image of God, we have the male and the female receiving the same blessing from God, which is to what? Go and multiply and what? Replenish the earth and subdue it. Are we here? Are you following? Right? So it means that we need to reinvestigate where or what is the place of a woman. So when it says they shall become one flesh, that is, they will be united. So it means that God's image will have a double agent. One will be the male man, and the other one will be the man. So, can we say, what will be, listen to me carefully, can we say, what will be the male woman and the female woman? Look at this, it's still in the mind. You accepted it when I said male man, female man. Now, I'm putting woman behind your man. You don't want to talk. When I said male man, I said male man. Female man. Now we can really say the male woman and the female. What did I just do? I just replaced it. So we will have the male man is equal to the male woman, and the female man is equal to the female woman. Are you confused? You cannot be. I said you have hardness of heart. You cannot be. I really spoke basic English. So the man is equal to the male man and the male woman, while the woman is equal to the female man, that is the female woman. All found where? In Christ, the image of God. All found where? In the Adam that fell into a deep sleep and rose again. Are you here? Beautiful. So it means that in God's creation plan, there is no intention to belittle the woman. You get that? There is no intention to belittle the woman or to consider the woman as an afterthought. Galatians 3. Look at Galatians chapter 3. So we're going to read verse 28. Then go back to verse 26 and read verse 27. Altogether, then we'll leave Galatians alone for this morning. Right? So look at Galatians 3. Are you in 28? Don't forget, we're reading 28 first. You can check your Bibles. Verse 28 first. Then go back to verse 26. Then go back to verse 27. So look at Galatians 3, verse 28. Are you there? Are you there? If you're there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, hold me. Beautiful. Right? Galatians 3. Now let's read 28, then 26, 27. 28, 1, 2, 3, go. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all, we are all one. Is that what you see as one flesh? Ikad, right? The unity. Now go back to 26. For ye, who are the ye in verse 26? Is it those who are one in verse 28? So for ye are all what? Children of God. By what? Faith in what? Christ Jesus. He now tells you what it means to be to have faith. He now tells you in verse 27, for as many of you as have what? Been baptized into Christ. You have what? Who are the many of you? Can we say many of you into bracket? Male man and female man? Can we say as many of you who have been baptized, as many of you will include the female woman and the male woman? Right? What did he now say? There is neither male nor female. Now, before, are you a believer, ma? So, two of you believers, beautiful. So, it means that in the resurrection, you've received something equally. Are we together? When you became born again, did you stop looking like a woman? Did you, as soon as you see the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost started converting you to a male structure? Your arm started building, your leg, everything started building, you started having six, seven packs. If you have seven packs, there's a problem. You have six, and one is floating. So, in the real sense, what you had as a woman before you became born again is what you still have now as a woman. Why is that still so? Because of the mission in the ministry or because of reproduction and procreation? So while she receives the Holy Ghost, she maintains being a female. So you are a woman, no? Are we here? You are a man, no? I say, let me say it again. Are we together? You are a woman and you're a man. But what is Paul really teaching? He says that in the unifier, in the unity that God creates in the resurrection, we don't identify people by their what? Gender. But when you are feeling form, don't go and use Colossians and Galatians 3 to feel form more. They say male or female. Next thing you say is otherwise. Right? Because you are feeling a man-made form, so you will still be recognized as a woman. As a man. Because anything that makes you not to feel male and female in form today, there's a problem. Especially if it's Nigeria. Continue. Are we here? So, you will remain a woman. You remain a man, but we will have to view both of you through the lens of the work of Christ. So it means that in the ministry of Jesus Christ that he has committed into his hands, he committed to all his humanity that includes both male and female. So it means for us to disqualify a woman from a position in ministry because she's a woman, what are we doing? We are trying to throw to our face an insult to what the resurrection has done. Are we here? So, we are trying to, you know, we're trying to belittle that work he has done. In the real sense, A man outside of Christ can decide to see a woman as a lesser vessel. But you would not successfully be able to see a man, and a woman rather, as a lesser vessel to a man. So why are we doing this series like this? We want to explain those few scriptures that speaks about, as the scripture that talks about as weaker vessels in 1 Peter. What does it mean by let the woman keep silent? Who were those conversations really about? Are we ready for the journey? We just did that introduction. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, Galatians, Paul makes us to see. So, if Paul, listen to me carefully, Paul was the one that wrote 1 Timothy to Timothy and said, let the woman learn in silence. Paul was the one that says, let the woman be silenced in the church, 1 Corinthians 13. And the Paul now tells you there is neither male nor female. Is he not confused? He has to be confused. It's either we have confused or we ask our question, Jesus, the question Jesus asked. Have you not read? Are we in church this morning? Let's look at Ephesians 4 now. Ephesians 4. Are you there with me? Let's quickly read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore beseech you as a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherein you are called, verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, enduring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Look at verse 4. There is one body and one. So that one Spirit in verse 4, is that the same Spirit spoken about in verse 3? Unity of the Spirit in the bond of what? Peace. Now look at verse 4. There is one body, one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your. Now it says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Does that mean that amongst male and female there's one Lord? Amongst male and female, one baptism, one faith, one Jesus Christ. Look at verse 6. One God and Father of that Father of all, is that male and female? In his image. Right? Who is above all and through all and in you all. Hallelujah. Male and female? Beautiful. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift. That's just speaking about responsibilities amongst the male and female. Listen carefully. How do we know that's what about responsibility? Look at it. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore? So that means the wherefore is to explain the measure of the gifts of Christ. You're here? Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the what? Lower parts of the earth. Now look at verse 10. He that ascended, carefully, don't lose me here, is the same also that what? Ascended up far above all heavens, that he might what? Fill all things. Believers, right? Believers? Beautiful. And he gave. He gave what? Some. He gave some apostles, male or male and female. And some prophets, evangelists, and some pastors, which are teachers. Let me do a quick study, a quick correction there, which we've done in several teachings. In the original manuscript, the only word that has a Greek word amongst the psalm. How many psalms do you have there? One, two, three, four psalms, right? Four psalms. Is that true? The only psalm that is in that manuscript, that is in the original manuscript, is the first psalm. And it's the Greek word men. And it's a word that means assuredly, truly, or certainly. Are we here? Assuredly, truly, or certainly. So how do we read Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11? And he gave, certainly. Are we here? And he gave truly, and he gave assuredly. He gave apostles, pastors, prophets, evangelists, and what? Pastor and now, the word there and in between pastors and teachers is a different Greek word from the other and used in that same Ephesians 4. Right? So, the pastors and teachers will be, the word there and is what? Kai? That is, I mean? Yeah, we saw that, right? So, it is, he gave some, or he gave certainly, pastoring teachers. Are we together? Who is a pastor? One who shepherds, a bishop. So, a shepherding teacher. If you now look at his writing in 1 Corinthians, is it 7 thereabouts? He now mentions apostles, prophets, evangelists, and mentions teachers. He doesn't mention pastor, because the pastor is the pastoring teacher, the shepherding. Are we here? Beautiful. So he gave certainly pastors. So Who are apostles, prophets, pastors, and evangelists? They are male and female. That will be ministry gifts. So he now says, what is the reason for you? Why do you have a pastor? Why do you have a pastor? Look at it in verse 12. Check your Bible, verse 12. What does he say? For the perfecting of the saints, for the what? Is the work of ministry for male and female? Are we together? So, do we have male and female apostles to perfect male and female believers for the work of ministry? Are we together? So, we have for the perfecting of ministry, for the work of ministry rather, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13 now says what? Till we all come in the what? What is unity of faith? Let all of us teach anything we think that the Holy Spirit is telling us. You know, the Bible has one meaning. I hope you know. This Bible doesn't have several meanings to several people. Imagine you wrote a letter to me. He now reads this and now says, I assume what she wrote to me. This one to now read his own review of our own. I say, no. That's not what she meant. This is what she meant. Another person now reads two of them. The Bible has one interpretation. The unity of faith is not far-fetched. The word there and is the word kai, which is that is, I mean. So unity of faith is what about the, not look at it in the next verse, the knowledge. The knowledge of the Son of God. So we are to say the same thing about the knowledge of the Son of God. That's unity of faith. Are we here? That is unity of faith. The unity of faith is about the knowledge of his Son. And that is not to say there is something wrong when we come together as saints to want to do this. But don't take it as Paul's unity of faith. That's why he now tells you in verse 14. That we henceforth be no more tossed to and fro and carried away by every their saints. If everybody's doctrine is correct, there's no need for that statement. Are we here? There is such a thing called to and fro by wind of what? Doctrine. You know, doctrine has wind. Why do you hear me say the things that are right and the things that are not right when I'm correcting things that are not right? It's because the mind of man is intelligent enough to mix wrong and right and make it make sense. You have that ability. Just depends on the trust you give to the man you are listening to. You have that ability. It's in you. Truth is that man has the ability to conjoin. There is such a thing as tossed to and fro by winds of false doctrine. That's why he calls it by the slight. Colossians will tell you high sounding nonsense. You know, I can preach high sounding nonsense. You know, high sounding nonsense just means coordinated nonsense with high pedigree. I hope you know in this generation right now, because people are very lazy to be students of the word. Anybody can start a church as long as you're eloquent. That's why I say Aquila and Priscilla will get there. There was a man that was eloquently teaching the word. What did they call Ogakom? Eloquence 100. Use of words, command in English, you are there. But sit down. Bible tells you now expounded the word unto him. It takes a humble man who has eloquence to learn God's word. Because a lot of us are emotional people and we are moved by eloquence. That's the truth. Who is here that doesn't like people that speak eloquently? Some of you still prefer some other people to me because I don't flow well. You are laughing at yourselves. I don't flow well. Pastor cannot even pronounce divorce or divorce. It's the truth. That is the truth. Who doesn't like to hear flow English? You know. And he just says, you know, we just give thanks to God. And you know, just lift up your holy hands and just give him all the glory. That is all that is done. It's done. It's done. 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 Just say done. Look at neighbor and say done. 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 You done. Throughout the whole service. Everything is done. It's done. Won't the rice overcook? See, look at verse. Look at verse 15, people of God. But speaking the truth in love. Now, do you think speaking the truth in love is about the tone you use? It cannot be about tone now. Why? Because we just clearly saw in Scripture in Acts where there's an eloquent man in love but in error. You can be eloquently in error. I hope you know that. So speaking the truth in love just really means that let love be the foundation for you being dogged with sound doctrine so that the man will not be moved by winds of false doctrine. That's preaching the truth in love. That is the love found in the message or in the doctrine. All together. Why? Because it is only that truth that can make you grow up. That's in verse 15. That you may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by them which every joint supply. According to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself. Where? So the gifts of men, or men are the gifts of God to man. Did you get that? So those of now it's important to know that the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors, they are actually offices. Are we here? That both male or female can operate in. That's why Paul will tell you in 1 Timothy 3, he'll tell Timothy, he'll say, if anyone desired the office of a bishop, he desires something that is good. That means you can be a believer and desire to be a bishop. Is that not what he's saying? It's a good desire. So, that desire now, there will be some criteria of conduct that Timothy will look out before he ordains you as a bishop. So, it means that ministry gifts are offices that people can grow into. Did you hear me? Ministry gifts. Let me tell you something. If all of us in this country, if all of us in this place rather, right, can come to listen to the teaching of God's word here every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday, for instance, right? And in 1 year, all of us are scattered abroad around the world. I mean, solid, proper, back-to-back, proper teaching. Average 1 hour, 30 minutes, 2 hours, every of those services. You know that in the next 1 year, if all of us are scattered in the world, what God expects from us is that all of you will take responsibilities to start a cell or a fellowship wherever you are. And you know that that cell, that fellowship can become a church wherever you are. So, it means that the office of an apostle is an office that both the male and the female in God's humanity can operate in. Praise Jesus. So, the male and female in God's humanity will be the characteristic or the gift that God will give as men. Will it be men as male species? Will it be men as male species? It will be men that is actually the male, that includes the male man, female man, and the male woman, and the female woman. So, what is the purpose of that giving? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, to the end goal is what? Edifying of the body of Christ. Are we here? So, when Bible now tells you, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, therefore, if any man be that man, is he a male man? Male man? Or God's humanity, which includes male man and female man. So if any man, into bracket, male man, female man, be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature, right? The word there, creation, is a word that speaks about a species that has never existed. So it's a new creation. It now says all things are passed away. Is that for both the male and female? All things are of God who has what? Reconciled us back to himself. Now he now says he has given to us a what? Ministry. Is that ministry for male? Are we here? Is the ministry for male alone? Okay. Is the ministry for male and female? So the ministry of reconciliation has been committed to your hand as much as it's been committed to my hand. What you need to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation is what I have and what she has and what he has. There is no bigger gift that God has given to him than what he has given to you to fulfill the ministry of reconciliation. So the woman in Christ is the man. Are we here? The woman in Christ is the man that has received forgiveness of sin, which is the Holy Ghost. And that man that has received includes the male man and the female man. Are we here? Have we gone home? We're here, right? So it means that the ministry of God is for the entirety of God's humanity, which includes both male and female. So let's start somewhere. Let me give you a tip of, you know, I've been quoting 1 Corinthians 14. Quickly go to 1 Corinthians 14. Let's explain what that really means. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I hope you're learning something today. 14:34. Are you there? So Paul now says, let your woman keep silent in the churches. For it is not for it is not what? Permitted unto them to speak. But you know, they are commanded. Is it in italics in your Bible? Is it in italics? So how do you read that? But to be under obedience, as also said the law. So Paul now writes to a church and says, let the woman in the church not speak. But that has to be questionable. Are we here? Why? Let's do something. Let's go back a little step further and see from Jesus' ministry the women that were predominant. Now, one of the things that makes a lot of us bypass the place of the woman in ministry is because Jesus had how many disciples? Supposedly 12 disciples, and they were all... So Jesus was what? He was gender misogyny. I'm not eloquent. Take it like that. Misogynistic. I mean, is that the word? Okay. Right? So it means we need to examine scriptures. What the scripture says about that? Let me show you something. Look at the book of Luke chapter 6. Jesus did not even believe a woman. How will all these 12 of them? Men. Luke 6, are you there? Look at verse 13. Luke 6, 13. And when it was day, he called unto him. Are we here? Please check your Bibles. Let's read verse 13. 1, 2, 3, go. When it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them. Wait, what does that line really mean? It means he had more than 12 disciples. Are you there? Have you gone home? He called his disciples, then out of them, he picked what? 12, whom he named apostles. Right, then Bible now lists out their name for you. Up until verse, look at verse 16. And Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was a... Why do you suppose we know Judas was a traitor? Because the book of Luke was written after he betrayed. Are we here? This was not Luke prophesying. Are we together? Right? So he says that he called unto his disciples, and of them he chose what? 12. How do we know he had more disciples than 12? Look at Luke 10. Then we'll come back to Luke 9 and Luke 8 to see something. Look at Luke 10, verse 1. Are you there? Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other how many? 70. And sent them 2 and 2. Therefore, so he first called his disciples and appointed 12. Luke 10, he appointed how many? 70. And he sent them 2 by 2 before the face into every city and place whither he himself would what? Go. Look at verse 17. And the what? 70 returned again with what? Saying, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. So, the 70 that returned with joy, did they perform miracles? As much as the 12? Look at Luke 9. So, go back a little. Go back a chapter, a book behind. Luke 9, 1. Then he called his what? 12 disciples together and gave them what? Authority over the what? Over the all devils and to cure. This is, and he sent them to what? Preach the kingdom of God and to what? And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither stripes nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have 2 coats piece, and whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence what? And whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of the city, shake off dust from your feet for a testimony against. What is he trying to say? Remove your shoe and do pa pa pa. Is he a Baal shoe? Okay, beautiful. And they departed and went through, look at verse 6 very well. They departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and what? And healing everyone. Now look at verse, and look at chapter 8. So, verse 6 says they went preaching the gospel, healing everywhere. This was for the 12 disciples. Chapter 10 tells you the 70 did the same. Do we see that? Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Luke 8, 1. And it came to pass afterwards that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with them. And certain women which... Are you there? The 12 were with them. Then what? Certain women which had been healed of evil spirit and infirmity, including who? Mary, Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Verse 3, Joanna, the wife of what? Chusa. Herod's what? And what? And what? Many others. So from verse 8, verse 2, or verse 3, he tells you 3 names: Mary, Joanna, Susanna, right? So it will be that when he now says, and many others which ministered unto him of their what? Will many others include women and men alike? Are you here? So the many others will include women and men alike. Now, when you see Acts chapter 1, look at Acts 1. Acts 1, 14. Acts chapter 1. These all continued in one accord in what? In prayer and supplication with the what? Now, this was the wait between the 40 days teaching and the day of what? Pentecost. Luke tells you that there were women in amongst the number. And he says, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples and said, the number of names together were about 100. And so there was the 12, there was the 70, and we now have eventually 100. And so from the 12, we see limited to male. From the 70, male and female inclusive. From the 120, male, female inclusive, including of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Are we following? So we see that Jesus had more disciples than what you call 12. Beautiful. So did Jesus, Mary, the mother of Jesus, sit down under Jesus' 40 days teaching as a what? Disciple of Jesus. Are we together? And the woman that Paul wrote about. Now, if you notice very well, Luke makes you see that disciples were always with Jesus. I'm trying to give you an answer why the 12 seemed like to be men. Now, if you look, okay, let's not jump. Look at Luke. Are you still in Luke? Go back to Luke. Look at Luke 8:1. And it came to pass afterwards, and he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with, are you in Luke 8:1? The 12 were with what? So they were with him going where? Going through every what? City and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. Look at Luke 9. Next chapter, Luke 9, 18. And it came to pass, as he was alone, what? He was alone doing what? Praying. His disciples were with him. Those disciples, would that be the 12? Lovely. Look at Luke 18, 29. Luke chapter 18, verse 29. We're just trying to lay a foundation for today, and we'll go forward in subsequent teachings. Now, look at what he now says in verse 28. Then Peter said, lo, we have left all to follow thee. Now, you know we've done a teaching on we've left all. It doesn't mean they abandoned everybody. Are we together? We've left all. When you see John chapter 19, John chapter 20, you see that they went to go and fish. They were still doing business. But see what he now says. Peter says, we've left all to follow thee. Let's read 29 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And he said unto them, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left his house, his parents, brethren, wife, children, for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present lifetime, and in the world to what? So does that mean that the following of Jesus requires certain sacrifices? Do you suppose that those sacrifices would have been more difficult for women than men? Why do you suppose it would have been more difficult for women than men? Because the culture at the time would have relegated women to certain responsibilities. Are we together? So it means that because of the culture, the woman will definitely, both male and female will have to sacrifice, but it will be easier for the male to sacrifice more than the woman. Why? Because of the culture, where the culture has placed responsibilities on the hands of people. Think about it, right? It's not far-fetched in our day and time. We subconsciously place washing plates in the hands of ladies. Do you understand? We subconsciously place sweeping in the hands of ladies. We subconsciously place what? Cooking in the hands of ladies. And we subconsciously, don't talk about your own, we subconsciously pay washing of car in the hand of who? Man. It's not far-fetched. We subconsciously place locking the door in the night. We subconsciously place when you hear at the back of the window. Where do you run to? The back of the man. That's when women know the scripture on submission. That's when they know the scripture on submission. Then you are the head. The head, go there. Are we together? Right? So, can you see? The same way it is for this world and this day and time is the same way it has been from time. So, when Jesus will want committed men he would hand over his ministry to, it will be easier for a man than a woman. Because if you look at it very well, we subconsciously also thought, even though because of our women now that are breaking forth, we've also thought that the woman is to take care of the children and the house, take them to school, go and pick them, while the man is to go out to labor. The better word is hustle. Then what happens with the hustle? He comes back home, drops money on the table for the woman to go out to the market. You see how? See, then come back at once. Then he will wait for the food to be ready, then he will eat. See, then watch television. Okay, then watch Champions League. Let me ask you a question. All of us now, we were answering what I was asking uniformly. Did we have a meeting before now? Did we have a meeting before now? So it's not far-fetched to know what the society has put or has infused in the house. So it will be easier for men to travel around the cities with Jesus. But Jesus now does something in the resurrection. Jesus will now resurrect from the dead, and the first person he will meet is a woman. And he will tell the woman to be the first preacher of the message to the 12 that have been with him. So what does he do in the resurrection? He bypasses. You know, in that day and time, see the interesting thing. In that day and time, the words of women don't carry power. They don't carry weight, especially in the courts. For a woman to say something, there must be a man. The culture was so intense that they caught a man and a woman fornicating. They wanted to stone the woman. Where's the man? You're asking me. Where's the man? So, culture. See, you cannot understand the Bible without understanding the culture of the people in the Bible. You cannot. The next generation right now, so the best thing for everybody now is let everybody computerize all the house chores. Let all of us go to work together. Both male man and female man. Anybody that wants to do the RoboVac, the one that will sweep the house, you put the machine. You know there's a machine that will sweep the house. You just put it on your phone and you just press button. And to go around the house, why? Because you want to sweep. That's fine. Right? When you are going out, you buy a pressure cooker. You buy a cooker that has timer. Everything is getting rapidly fast. But don't let everything get rapidly fast. And you now know that there's no work for you again, and you forget ministry. Because it's easy to get off those responsibilities that the world has put in your hands, off your shoulder, and now forget what you really ought to do. Are we here? Have you gone home? So, we've seen that women are not exempted from discipleship. However, we see that in the 12 that traveled all around with Jesus, it was easier for a man That's why, you know, NYC is like the gospel. It tries to unify the male man and the female man. Everybody wear the same white. Everybody wear the same cap, wear the same khaki, under the same sun. Are we here? But that is what the gospel really does. Have you not noticed that you would have thought that, you know, NYC is just like pre-level of soldier training. Abi? It's pre-level of soldier training. Both male man and female man can do it. But it's easier to recruit only men for soldier. Women are strong, but a woman can be strong. Let me now tell you something interesting while I close here. A lot of us have moved the conversation of being a weaker person into our minds. And it I'm talking of ladies right now, and it tames us from doing a lot of things we ought to do. Because by default, we just feel a man should kick cockroach. War gecko is for the man. Abi? Abi? Don't worry, say I will cook. Just kill rat. You see rat, you jump on the bed. God save you if your man jump on the bed with you when there's rat in the house. Probably will just stand like this and just sleep off. God save you. Some of us are laughing here while like that. If rat enter your house, what will you do? God save you. That's only your God now save you. That both you and your wife, none of you can kill cockroach. You now have mature cockroach that can fly in the house. Are we together? So in the real sense, to ask why Jesus appointed only 12 male male guys is almost as asking why, you know, when Jesus will ask them to go into the world to preach, first of all, before the resurrection, he will ask them not to go to the ways of the Gentiles, but go into the lost sheep of Israel. Is it that the gospel wasn't for the Gentiles? It cannot be that. Right, but there is something he's trying to tackle that will be made plain. That's why when he now resurrects, he now tells them something very clear. He now says that and that repentance and remission of sins will be preached in his name. He now says, go ye into the world and preach the gospel. He now tells you, he says, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the where? Or Tammuz part of the earth. But yet, before the resurrection and crucifixion, he tells them, don't go into the ways of the Gentiles. That means they are delivered. Is it so? When Jesus picks 12 disciples or appoints 12 disciples, so to say, is it because the discipleship is not for women? No. But because he's trying to deal with the conversation and the culture, what the culture has imposed on the people. I will close here. All together. We will continue here on Wednesday. Right? So, in the resurrection, God will be the unifier by his work. God will be the unifier by his work. There will be no need for, you know, segregation or looking at a gender as an afterthought. Why? Because God's plan from time has always been that man should be found in the image of God. Right? So you can write Matthew 10 verse 5 to 6, where it says, these 12 disciples sent him forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But in this resurrection now says, beginning at Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, that it says, don't go into the uttermost part of the head. Why? Because the culture has, by one way or the other, put a bias and demarcation amongst people. So Paul's instruction in Ephesians chapter 4 about how ministry gifts are men will include male man and what? Female man. While in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the message of reconciliation, ministry of reconciliation will be what? For the male man and the what? Now, in the next teaching, we'll look at examples of women who were predominant in scriptures. Right? Let's end in 1 Timothy, which is where we are going to explain eventually. Then we'll also explain Deuteronomy. I expect it to be here on Wednesday and by extension on Sunday, because we're going to explain the portion of scripture that says a man should not wear that what pertains to a woman. And the next line says what? No, it says a woman should not wear what pertains to a man. That's what we used to teach. Woman should not wear trousers. And the next verse tells you a man should not wear what pertains to a woman. What was Moses really teaching? Yeah, he was really teaching about the laws that would guide them in the land they were going to. and was teaching against homosexuality, so to say. We'll look at that in the next session. So I'm just giving you a tip of what we're going to look at, right? And we're also going to look at what it means by woman, cover your head. Hallelujah. You know, it's interesting, you know, that cloth has evolved over the years. In Scotland right now, the official cloth for a man is skirt. Because skirt can be for male and what? Female, depending on the part of the world you are in. Was there demarcation of skirt and trouser in the days of Moses? What do you think they mostly wore? Chalamet, right? Based on film you watch. We'll look at that in days to come. Look at 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy 2. He now tells you in verse 11. The same Paul who says that there's neither male nor female. He now says in verse 11, let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. He now says, but I suffer not the woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Then Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in what? Transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in what? Childbearing. So it means that this woman is talking about is a woman that is married. Are we together? So the woman that is to be silent, it has to be a woman that has a marital relationship such as Adam and Eve. We'll look at that and study that patiently more in days to come. Right? But what have we learned today? That God's plan for the entire earth is that all flesh shall be found in the image of his Son. God's plan for humanity is for both the male man and the female man, and the male woman and the female woman to be found in the image of his dear Son, the kingdom of light, the kingdom of life, the kingdom that has forgiveness of sins and the receiving of the Holy Ghost as promised by the prophets and Moses. Hallelujah. Bow your heads and talk in tongues for now. We'll continue here on Wednesday.